For 5 years, from 1937 to 1942, a group of young people traveled the length and width of the Florida Peninsula. With them, they brought a recording machine the size of a coffee table. The moving parts looked like a phonograph, and cut recordings with a sapphire needle directly onto a 12-inch acetate disc. They were hired by the Library of Congress to document the diverse cultures of Florida. The project was part of the Works Progress Administration, a New Deal program created by President Franklin Roosevelt.
They went into turpentine camps, citrus groves, sawmills, and aboard fishing boats. And they interviewed hundreds of people, mostly minorities and mostly poor. They recorded music, spirituals, children's songs, work songs, and they recorded stories and local folklore. Heading up the project was Stetson Kennedy, a young student from Jacksonville, and the writer Zora Neale Hurston, a white man and a black woman working and traveling together in the Jim Crow South. Stetson Kennedy still lives near Jacksonville. He recounts those years with Zora Neale Hurston, along with their original recordings, in this story about the Florida Folklife Project.
Say your name, please.
Irene Jackson.
How old are you?
I'll be 40 my next birthday.
Where were you brought up?
In South Jacksonville, Florida.
Tell us about what you're going to sing.
It's just a play we used to have when we were children, and we would be playing church, and rather than to sing church songs, we'd make up our songs, and we called it our play church.
You did?
Yeah.
Well, would you start in with?
I lost my Jersey cow last year. Where you reckon I found her? I found her in the forks of the road with the buzzard looping round her. I went down to the chicken house. I fell down on my knees before I could steal a chicken.
I referred to the entire operation as a treasure hunt, Florida treasure hunt. And these field workers were, one and all, very excited about what they were doing.
Lord have mercy on my soul. How many chickens have I stole? Two last night, two before. I'm going tonight and steal two more. I've been stealing chickens, baby. Stealing chickens all my days.
I think they were fully aware that what they were doing was unique probably in human history, that never before had any society designated certain people to run around and record what was going on, especially what tales people were telling and songs they were singing.
This is Florida Folklore Recording Exhibition, jointly sponsored by the Library of Congress and the WPA Florida Writers Project. Stetson Kennedy is the intermediary, interviewer, operator.
I'm Stetson Kennedy. And I'm facing my 85th birthday.
How would it go?
This is the house that little Jack built. Yeah. This is the rat that ran in the house that little Jack built. Yeah, man.
And during the period 1937 to 42, I served as state director of folklore and ethnic studies for the WPA Florida Writers Project.
This is the cow, the crooked horn, the toss, the dog, the kill, the cat, the cock, the rat, the rat in the house that little Jack built. Amen.
What is your name?
Willie Knight
Ryan. So you have a real turpentine song?
Yeah.
What do you mean by a real turpentine song? You sing it in your work?
Just one I made up.
One you made up?
Yeah.
What's the name of the song?
Turpentine.
Turpentine Blue.
Yeah.
All right, go to it.
Mama do the stealing. Power on the silver shed.
Turpentine, of course, was a major American industry, southern industry, for generations, and consisted of cutting the faces of the pine trees and letting the sap run into buckets, turning it into turpentine and tar.
And take the regular money and give it to the candy man.
So that generations of particular blacks, the labor was provided by African Americans. And they were living in virtual slavery, debt slavery. They almost never saw any cash money. In remote camps in the woods and same kind of shanties that the slaves had lived in. And nothing to eat but what the company commissary issued them at double or triple prices. And the threat of flogging or even killing if they tried to run away. As the operators put it, trying to run off without paying their debts. And so he just called the sheriff or his neighbors. And they would catch them and flog them and put them back to work.
One more time, God,
okay. Here I go, right back in jail again. Ooh, here I go, right back in jail again. I don't have any money, and I sure don't have no friends.
In Cross City, Florida, one of the largest turpentine camps in the state, we organized a recording session around a campfire at night. And after a while, I began asking questions about, why don't you leave and get out of it? And one elderly hand, as they called themselves, he said, the only way out is to die out. He said, if you try to leave, they'll kill you because they got folks out in those woods to bury you. And the minute I started asking questions like that and getting responses like that, some of the young blacks jumped up and ran off into the woods to serve as sentries to make sure we could get warning if the woods rider showed up. And sure enough, a bit later on, they came dashing back up and said, sing something quick. Here come the man.
You say that you have this song that you have composed. What do you call the song?
Jitterbug.
Just a Jitterbug.
Just a Jitterbug.
Well, you go right ahead then and sing this song just as you compose it and as you play it with the band each Friday night.
Just a Jitterbug. Just a crazy mug. He's young and wild, not the style. Just a jitterbug. Drank whiskey by the jug. Just a foolish, crazy mug. He's young and wild, not the style. Just a jitterbug.
James Griffin was one of the turpentine hands at the Cross City Turpentine establishment. And he was a teenager, and he wore one of the straw hats, characteristic of the 30s, on a flat-top straw hat, very dapper guy. He sang, just a jitterbug, just a lazy, crazy mug, drink liquor by the jug, may not know the golden rule, but boy, he could shag.
The golden rule, but boy, he could shag, just a jitterbug. Just a crazy mug. He's young and wild. He's not the style. He's just a jitterbug.
My name is Zora Neale Hurston, and I'm going to sing a gambling song that I collected at Bolswick, Florida. That's the term time still there. And the men are playing a game called George's Skin. That's the most favorite gambling game among the workers of the South. And they lose money on the drop of a card, the fall of a card.
It's probably the only audio recording of Zora Neale Hurston in existence. And she just goes on and on for hours being Zora and laughing and singing and telling tales.
And then the man will say, you want them to put the bets down. And he'll say, put the money on the wood and make the bet go good. And then again, put it in sight and save a fight. And so they all get the bets down. And then he starts, and they'll holler, let the deal go down. Boys, let the deal go down. A card done fell. Yeah, take another card. Take this queen. Oh, no, I don't play them gals away late at night. Give me another card. I don't want no queen. Put up some more money. Put up some more money, you head peck shorty.
She had already published her first two books by that time. But she wanted the job and was given the same job title that I had when I started out, of a junior interviewer. Imagine Zora Hurston, junior interviewer. She had already had her degrees from Boaz and Columbia and Bernard and so on.
Ah, some folks call me a Tolo shaker. It's a doggone lie. I'm a backbone breaker. Well, you may go, but this will bring you back.
You said you learned it in a crowd. How do you learn most of your songs?
I learn them. I just get in the crowd with the people, and if they sing it, and I listen as best I can, then I start to joining in with a phrase or two, and then finally I get so I can sing them back to the people until they tell me that I can sing them just like them, and then I carry my memory.
And I recall asking her, Zora, do you know a song called Uncle Bud? And she giggled and said, yes, I know it.
Uncle Bud is not a work song. It's a sort of social song for amusement. And it's so widely distributed, it's growing all the time by incremental repetition. And it is known all over the South. No matter where you go, you can find verses of Uncle Bud. It's the favorite song, and the men get to working in every kind of work, and they just yell down on Uncle Bud. And nobody particularly leaves it. Everybody puts in his verse when he gets ready.
Is it sung before the respectable ladies?
Never. It's one of those juke songs. And the woman that they sing Uncle Bud in front of is a juke woman. Yes. Uncle Buzz got corn that sure needs shucking. Uncle Buzz got gal that sure needs bucking. Uncle Bud, Uncle Bud, Uncle Bud, Uncle Bud, Uncle Bud.
The big
Uncle
idea was that instead of running around looking for these songs, we'd just bring Zora to Jacksonville and put her down in a chair and tell her to give, you know, everything she could think of. And so we did exactly that.
This song, I got at Callahan, Florida, which is a railroad center.
What kind of song is it?
This is not exactly a song, it's a chant for the men lining. You know, a railroad weighs 900 pounds, and the men have to take these lining bars and get it in shape to spike it down. And while they're doing that, why they have a chant that they use to the rhythm to work it into place, and then the boss hollers, bring up my hammer gang, and they start to spiking it down. And this is a chant for lining a rail. Mobile. In Alabama. Ha!
There were really no accommodations for blacks, no motels and hotels, and it was so bad that Zora frequently had to sleep in her beat-up Chevy.
Let's shake it. Let's break it. Let's shake it. Just half.
Well, as a matter of fact, things were so bad that throughout the southern states of North America, it was illegal, a matter of law, for whites and blacks to sit down at public accommodations, lunch counters, hotels. There's virtually no aspect of life in which you weren't required to be a part. And it was enforced, of course, not just by police power, but by vigilante, peer group, Ku Klux Klan, or whatever. You could get killed lighting somebody's cigarette or something, shaking hands. Both parties, white and black, they did get killed. And we solved it, so to speak, by having Zora go out ahead as a scout into the communities and identify people who had something to give and send us the list with addresses and so on. And sometimes she would wait and take part in the recording. Sometimes she would go ahead to the next place.
During the early days of the settlers in South Carolina, Beaufort County, when the church was first established there, before there were schools and seminaries, and instead of being able to read a text from the Bible, preachers preached mostly by imagination. He just imagined something and went on to preach it in a form of dialect, as I shall give you now, as near as I can imitate him. He says, sisters and brothers, me being fine, we'll talk this morning about Gad and Aram. Gad tell us, now you're to eat all the trees in the garden. But the day you eat that tree in the middle of the garden, that'll be the day you die. Tell them when the Gadgee man will sneak out across the garden and see a little red apple hanging on the tree. Him snatch him down and bite him, say, him taste so good. And went back and give mine a bite, and mine taste so good, and mine him eye come open. Mine get scared then, went way back down the garden and hide himself behind the tree. When he get down there and hide himself behind the tree, in the cool of the evening, Gad been for come back to see about him. When Gad been for come back down there, say, out there in that garden, say, Gad has so many sweet things out there planted, the orange tree and the apple tree and the nana tree, the plum tree, so many sweet things, the little jar and full lasses.
One of the first things we did with the recording machine when Zora got it on loan from the Library of Congress, we went to Eartha White's mission. It's located in the heart of the Black Ghetto in Jacksonville, a soup kitchen, and they provided not only soup, but clothing and sometimes lodging, old folks' home. It was the only thing going, really, for Afro-Americans, the only place they could go. Many ex-slaves were living there and eating there.
Now, what is your whole name?
Annie Whitaker.
And you are about 70 years old, are you?
Yes, sir.
I see. Now, what is the title of the song that you're going to lead?
Lord, I'm running, trying to make 100. 99 and a half won't do.
Now, where did you say this song came from?
Just in there, just come to me, and I sung it out of my heart.
Sung right out of your heart,
yes,
huh?
Yes, sir.
I suppose that you've made this song rather popular. Now, where is it sung today?
In Georgia, Florida, Alabama, and...
I see. Well, thank you so much. Now, we're going to have the entire group sing with you, and you're going to lead them.
So on the first venture to the Eartha White mission, I had discovered that one of the best ways to break the ice in these expeditions was to, this big machine had this prototype thing, had the capacity for instant playback, so that I'd let them sing a stanza or two of something and pretend I just wanted to check the machine. But the big idea was to, you know, get them excited about hearing themselves, and it always worked. And you couldn't stop them after that, you know. But anyway, this time, Eartha White says, hold it right there. Said, we're going to have a little prayer. And what she prayed was, dear Lord, this is Eartha White talking to you again. Said, just want to thank you for giving mankind the intelligence to create such a marvelous machine. And for a president like Franklin D. Roosevelt, who cares about preserving the songs that people sing. And that was her prayer.
My name is H.W. Stuckey. I'm 43 years old.
You're also a preacher, aren't you, sir?
Yes, sir.
What congregation?
Missionary Baptist.
As a missionary Baptist, does your church approve of singing?
No, sir, they do not.
Well, you're going to help us out with these, however.
Yes, sir. In order to preserve the songs of my childhood days on the farm in South Carolina.
Shall I make an explanation of this?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. During my early childhood days, my brother-in-law used to carry me about with him at night to these old-fashioned dances. They would often send for him for 10 and 15 miles around to come and call sets. And one of the songs I remember well was like this. Starching, ironing, knitting, never knew. I had no one to help me, and I had it all to do. Lord, I wish I was a single man again. Now do it to the right, then do it to the left. Now do it to the head, and do it to the foot. Now swing, saddle, and the corner, she ain't been swung tonight. When I was a single man, I could live at ease. Now I'm a married man, I got my wife to please. Lord, I wish I was a single man again. Now do it to the right, then do it to the left. Now do it to the head and do it to the foot. Now swing, saddle, with the corner, she ain't been swung tonight.
This is Mrs. Rolla Southward, State Director of the Professional and Service Projects of the WPA in Florida, who will give us her opinion of the recording program of the folk songs in Florida.
Well, Dr. Corse, it would really seem that we have finally grown up as a nation when we can spend a day recording such folklore as we have heard today. And this is only a beginning. Personally, my greatest interest is in the Negro folklore and how justly proud we all are of Zora Hurston, whose fine literary ability and wealth of experience has made our recordings possible today.
Thank you, Miss Alford.
What kind of a song is this, Zora?
Well, they sing the song when they're jumping the fire dance.
What is the fire dance?
The fire dance is some sort of African survival in the West Indies, and they beat the drums and sing these little songs. Mr. Brown, I want your daughter, oh, Mr. Brown, coat her like a lady, oh, Mr. Brown, young lady, oh, Mr. Brown, 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 young lady, oh, Mr. Brown, oh, Mr. Brown. And they keep that up until the drum is cold, and then they change it, and they sing another song.
Some of the interesting things to me about the work with Zora, she was always coming up with the best of everything, you know, in terms of folklore. She had such an ear for it. I think every people in the world could wish they had a Zora to immortalize their cultures.
Not chillin'.
I always thought her definition of folklore, that folklore is the boiled-down juice or pot liquor of human living.
If a man born in Georgia, what he Georgia, man. If he born in Carolina, what kind of man is he? He's a Carolinian. If he born in Florida, well, what is he? He's a Floridian. Well, children, I was born in the bed, and what is I? You's a bed bug. You ain't nothing but a bed bug, just running around, biting up people, and rebels, you better stop it for you. Get your neck broke because you are a bed bug.
Our story was narrated and recorded by Stetson Kennedy. It was produced by Barrett Golding. For more on the Florida Folklife Project, visit our website at npr.org.
Funding for Florida Folklife came from the Florida Humanities Council and the National Endowment for the Arts.